I was in the bee yard not about 3 weeks ago, and I was about to get my last, what they call honey, box of honey, the honey super. And I say that because it was, previously I had already gotten the other ones. And because of scheduling interferences, the weather, I never got to that particular box. And the time was running out. And I knew it. This is the day I had to do it. So I went to do it. The weather wasn't just right, and it was real hot and muggy. When I approached the hive, the bees, when they're agitated, will let you know. They'll bump you. They'll start bumping you. They won't sting you. They'll say, hey, we're not in the mood. Get away. But I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do this. So why I say that they're in aggressive mood this time of year is because all the wildflowers are drying up. And whatever honey they have is going to last them until February. So they're going to protect it. So they see me as, nah, we know why you're here. So we don't want you here. But I had to get it because I left them another box for them. But this is the one I had to harvest. And after, when they bump you, they're angry. But that anger turned into a full-blown fury. When I started pulling, the gloves came off then. It was out of control, out of self-control, and they were just, they were out to get me. The Bible has numerous examples of people out of control. This sermon that today I'm talking about is controlling our anger. Now, anger, when it says controlling anger, it's controlling it to anger. Because after we out of control, anger is fury or rage. It's something, you just go nuts. Or what we call in the bee industry, kamikaze. The bees just go kamikaze on you. And one example I've always attracted to was the story of Naaman. And if everybody can turn with me to 2 Kings 5 and 1, I'm going to go through the story flow. You can go with me. And everybody pretty much knows what's going on here. First of all, the word Naaman, and everybody knew he was a mighty man of valor. And that's in verse 1. It says that in chapter 5. But it's the word Naaman doesn't go around with his actions. I remember we had a sermon not some years ago, and part of that sermon was about your name, and it kind of identifies how you act. If you're aggressive, you have a different kind of name. If you're more this, you have this kind of name. But it doesn't all work. It's just dust in the air. And Naaman is just that example. Naaman in Hebrew means nice guy, pleasant, agreeable. And like he said in verse 1, he was a mighty man of valor, but he had leprosy. And everybody, and it goes, the Bible goes through that word and says leprosy. And let's go into the other subject. But leprosy, wait a minute, hold on, time out. What is leprosy? It's called Hansen's disease. And what is Hansen's disease? It's a bacteria in the soil. People that work in the soil a lot gets that. And especially back then, the people didn't bathe a lot. So you allow that bacteria to grow. So, and a matter of fact, there's several people in I don't know about this country, but another country that... armadillos, by the way, if you grab an armadillo, they have susceptible to leprosy. And some people ate it, and so they had leprosy. It's curable now, but back then it wasn't. It slowly ate your nerves or your skin, and then it gets into your fingers. You've got nubs and your ears, and then you go blind, and it's just a horrible death. It's a long and horrible death. But back to Naaman. He was a mighty man of valor, but in his, it goes on to that story, it says he had a girl, Israelite girl, that was a slave girl. And she told his wife, say, hey, I know a man in Israel that can cure Naaman of his leprosy. Now, let's digress. If you were a slave to somebody that went and pillaged your house and took you into slavery, and he had leprosy, would you be willing to tell him, hey, there's somebody that can take care of it? Or will you be like, no, you're going to die? Now, that's how highly they thought of Naaman. Even the slave girl thought enough about him to tell his wife to go, that he knew a prophet to take care of him. So Naaman goes, tells his king. King sends a messenger to Joab, I guess it is, the king of Israel. Joab says, hey. And he goes to Ramoth Gilead and says, hey, there's the king of Syria is sending Naaman over to get, so you can cure him of his leprosy. And in verse 7 of chapter 5, he's saying, wait a minute. And he tears his clothes, or his garment, and says, hey, are you nuts? He says, you think I'm God that I can cure this man of his scourge? Sure enough, not. He's picking a fight with me. So that's all going into his head. Down the stream, Elisha gets wind of it, sends a messenger to the king, say, hey, wait a minute, don't worry, send him to me. And that's in verse 10. So, and then pretty sure the king, yes, go ahead and go. Because just the word Naaman to a lot of those kings meant was terror. That's how he was. So here comes Naaman to Elisha's house, and it was like a hut. And outside of the hut, it's Gehazi, I'm pretty sure, the Elisha's servant. He tells him, hey, go and go to the River Jordan, just dip 7 times and you'll be clean. Now, picture Naaman, this, after, you know how good we feel when somebody, oh man, you did such a great job, and oh, you're handsome, or this, and there's, we start, and just imagine how Naaman was. You know, and he comes, and he sees a servant, and he says, what? You know, he's not giving he doesn't have the welcome mat, he doesn't have a 10-piece band for me, so he goes nuts. He goes furious. He says, what? First of all, you send a servant? You know, what happened to him? Why isn't he coming and just bringing all this, you know, bringing, you know, a thunderbolt and curing me? He wanted something glamorous. And he also said about the Abar and the Far, the rivers, aren't they better than the Jordan? Jordan River, I've seen pictures of it, and it's muddy. You know? And I went ahead and looked up Far and the Abinar, and those have rocky streams. They're rocky streams. So they're clear. Let's go to Ephesians 4:26. And it's 46 to 27, verse 27. Now, it's going to the NIV. I like going there because it's more modern English, I guess. But, and it's a verse that we're all familiar with, but it's bare repeating. You know, we know it, but when it comes, somebody pushes our button, all bets are off, it seems. And it says, in your anger, do not sin. Notice it says, in your anger, not in your fury. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. This last one is foothold. Now, in King James, it says, foothold means do not give place to the devil. In other words, don't let Satan crawl up into your brain and set up camp. That's Paul telling us. Don't let your anger jump up into rage or into fury. Because when you're into rage or fury, you're not thinking. You're just going nuts. Because remember, the prince of power of the air is here on earth. And he's cultivating sons of disobedience and children of wrath. And he's causing chaos. And he's all used to about out of self-control. And this, we're experiencing a lot of people that are out of control. So out of control, that brings up 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. If everyone can go with me there. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy and verse 1. And it's something that everybody's very familiar with, but it's due repeating. And it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Look at me. And I'm good looking. Or I'm this. And here's a selfie. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Let's all just have a good time. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And it says at the very last of verse 5, have nothing to do with them. Don't give them the time of day. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, it says, an angry man stirs up strife. So a man that's out of, on the verge of out of control, stirring up trouble. And also in Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So you have no self-control, and that's what God is teaching us. Our God is teaching us to self-control. This is, in my sense, it's kind of hard. But a wise person knows when to walk away. Like the gambler. I guess the song about the gambler. You got to know when to walk and when to keep them. Now we go down on chapter 5. Let's go back to 2 Kings, chapter 5. But let's go down to verse 13. And we're at back to Naaman. And Naaman is full blown right now. But he has some wise counselors. I read through various, and I got counselors, I got soldiers, and I got servants. So there's three types of people that could have been that gave counsel to Naaman at that point. But get a hold of this. It's only in this statement in the whole Bible that they say this. My father. The only person that I say my father to is God and he's deceased now, my dad. But his servants, they thought that much about Naaman and respected him, they called him my father. That's a very high honor. That's effective. Like I said, it's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, from a servant to a master. They asked if the prophet would have asked you to do something great, if he would have asked you to conquer a city or just do something magnificent, would you have done it? And Naaman said, yeah, I would have done it. But then there's the room, just go ahead and do it, man. It's just simple. Just do it. And he did. And when his flesh was restored, his attitude changed. He calmed down. And it goes back to the self-control the servants had. Deflated Naaman's rage or aversive rage. So, brethren, especially as a father, and many of us going through and have been fathers and grandfathers, you know, children have that magic finger that knows how to punch that butt. And grandchildren have that too. Especially when you're older, your fuse is just about this small. But that's when you have to count to 10, maybe 20, maybe go for a long drive and come back. But don't give your adversary, which is Satan, the foothold. Don't let him gets you out of control. Don't let him set up camp in your head. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.